Good morning. Luma Digest with me, Noura. Tuesday the 19th of May. Right. So a jury has ruled on Elon Musk's lawsuit against OpenAI, and it has not gone the way he wanted. Unanimous decision. Musk sued too late. His claims, breach of charitable trust, misuse of donor funds, are barred by statutes of limitations. The court did not touch the merits of his allegations. It simply said, you had reason to know about OpenAI's pivot toward for-profit operations before 2021. You filed suit in 2024. Too late. Musk has vowed to appeal. But the decision clears the path for OpenAI to pursue an IPO this year without a legal cloud hanging overhead. Now, here's what is actually interesting about this. The timeline shows not a sudden betrayal, but a gradual drift. Musk donated $38 million to OpenAI when it was a non-profit charity. By 2019, it had a capped profit subsidiary. By 2020, Microsoft had an exclusive license to GPT-3. By 2022, Microsoft was investing $10 billion. That is not a pivot. That is a slow turn over 3 years. And Musk either missed it or chose not to act on it until the valuations got too large to ignore. Courts often rule on procedural grounds precisely because they are cleaner than litigating the actual question. What does a founder's mission promise actually mean once serious money arrives? That question remains unanswered, but the legal obstruction is gone. OpenAI can move forward. Think about that for a second. The gap between stated missions and commercial reality. That is the pattern here. Completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania have created hybrid light matter particles that could dramatically speed up AI computing while using far less energy than electronic systems. Okay, so this is not incremental. This is a potential shift from electron-based to photon-based AI hardware. The breakthrough uses polaritons, hybrid particles that combine light and matter. They interact with each other in ways that photons alone cannot. And they do it at room temperature, which means this is not a lab curiosity locked behind cryogenic cooling. The speed advantage comes from the fact that light travels faster than electrons. The energy advantage comes from the fact that photons do not generate heat the way electrons do. Electronic chips dissipate energy as heat. Photonic systems do not have that problem. For AI workloads, training large models, running inference at scale, energy consumption is a bottleneck. Chips overheat. Data centers burn through power. If you can move computation from electrons to photons, you change the maths. This is early. The researchers have demonstrated the principle. They have not built a production chip, but the direction is clear. Hardware is shifting toward light. Something to think about for anyone watching AI infrastructure costs. Right. Let's swing over to web development for a minute. Vite 8.0 is shipping with a complete architectural rewrite. And this one matters if you build for a living. Vite has become central to modern front-end development. React, Vue, Svelte. Most teams are running Vite somewhere in their stack. Version 8 swaps out its JavaScript-based bundler for a unified Rust engine called Rolldown. Early reports show build times dropping from 46 seconds to 6 seconds in real projects. That is a 7x improvement. Now, here's why that matters. A developer who builds 50 times a day saves 33 minutes. Over a year, that is weeks of reclaimed focus. The compound cost of waiting adds up, and Vite maintains compatibility with existing plugins, so the upgrade is a drop-in replacement for most teams. The broader pattern here is Rust eating the JavaScript tooling stack. Bundlers, linters, formatters. They are all being rewritten in Rust because JavaScript is not fast enough for the scale of modern codebases. If you have been putting off the Vite migration, version 8 is the reason to move. Now, staying in web dev, but this one is less fun. A targeted NPM registry attack has compromised 314 packages through supplier chain manipulation. Developers must audit lock files and transitive dependencies to detect malicious injections. This is not a new attack vector. It is the same pattern we have seen before. Attacker gains access to a maintainer account, publishes a malicious update. The update gets pulled into lock files across thousands of projects. By the time anyone notices, the damage is done. The scale here, 314 packages, suggests coordination. This was not opportunistic, this was planned. What this means for dev teams, you cannot trust version numbers anymore. You have to audit what changed in each dependency update. Not just your direct dependencies, your transitive dependencies too. The ones you did not choose but got pulled in because something you did choose depends on them. That is the attack surface, and it is growing. To be fair, the NPM registry has security measures, two-factor authentication, automated scanning. But social engineering still works, phishing still works, and once an attacker has a maintainer's credentials, the registry cannot tell the difference between a legitimate update and a malicious one. The takeaway? If you are building on someone else's packages, you are building on someone else's security posture. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. Let's pivot to quantum for a minute. And this one's a proper breakthrough. Research proves that shaping entanglement before transmission through noisy channels achieves purification superior to any post-processing approach. Okay, so here's what that means in plain English. Quantum communication relies on entanglement, pairs of particles that share a quantum state. When you send one particle through a noisy channel, say a fiber optic cable, the entanglement degrades. The received state is not as pure as the state you sent. The standard approach has been post-distillation. You receive the noisy state, then you apply error correction to clean it up. That works, but it has limits. This research shows that if you shape the entanglement before you send it, engineer the state to anticipate the noise it will encounter, you can achieve better purification than any post-processing approach can reach. Pre-channel engineering is now established as a distinct operational resource. That matters because it changes the design space for quantum networks. Instead of fixing errors after transmission, you design the transmission to be robust to the errors you expect. Think about that. The noise is predictable, the channel has a profile. If you know what the channel will do to your state, you can prepare the state to survive the channel. That is the insight. And it has implications for quantum key distribution, quantum teleportation, and any protocol that depends on high fidelity entanglement over distance. And that's your Luma Digest for today. Thanks for being here. I will see you next time.